Welcome to the Green Wisdom Health Show.
But there is some symptoms of an imbalanced microbiome here, which you're going, what is that? What is the microbiome?
The bacteria and proper yeast in your GI tract.
It's amazing how many things are related to your gut health.
Everything.
Yeah.
Even your mood, your mental cognitive function. Go ahead and, you know, I got a list over there. You tell me.
Hello and welcome to the Green Wisdom Health Show. I am Janet Lewis.
And I'm Dr. Lewis.
And we are going to educate you a little bit today about digestive issues. Some of you don't even know you have them. Some of you know you have them. So we're going to talk a little bit about differences between what a digestive enzyme is and what a probiotic is and some of the signs and symptoms of digestive problems. And then you're going to know whether or not you have an issue. How's that sound, Dr. Lewis?
I think if you're a man out there, just ask your wife. She'll tell you.
Oh, yes. Gas, bloating, belching, right?
Burp.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit large stomach area. This actually got brought up because we had a client in the other day, and she had digestive issues, and I put her on a digestive enzyme. And she thought I was killing her good bacteria in her gut. So, and a lot of people think that that's not one person saying that. So I want Dr. Lewis to explain to us what the difference is between a probiotic and an enzyme, and then some of the issues that missing some of them can cause.
Well, you know, a probiotic, it should be a balance of a lot of different good bacteria and yeast like Saccharomyces boulardii. But we usually have it imbalanced for a lot of reasons. And even my brother, who is incredibly brilliant, I mean, oh my God, brilliant. He says, well, why do you take probiotics every day? I said, because you challenge them every day. And there's so many things that can offset and make them not, I guess, form and stay, form colonies and stay. So the GI tract is incredibly complicated, but, you know, there's an overabundance of potentially harmful organisms, and when they prevail, the microflora can be upset by medications, excessive alcohol consumption. It doesn't take much for that to be excessive. Poor dietary intake, and I get people every day say, "But I eat good." And it's like you can't. Now you can eat better than the average American, but you don't have the proper mineral uptake in the plants. And even in the meats, and there's much good research that says, you know, once you take antibiotics, that can inflame your GI tract and actually cause you to gain weight. And there's antibiotics in most of your meat. So you have to be aware. And I tell my brother, who's really probably intellectually smarter than me, but maybe, and I said, because you challenge them every day, you're getting chlorine or fluorine. Bromide in your bread, if you eat bread, but chlorine and fluorine in your shower, in your water. And so you need to replenish with probiotics every day. And I encourage my patients to grow their own, you know, use mine as a starter because they're the best in the world, of course, and they're incredibly well researched. But, and then a digestive enzyme.
So tell us the difference. The probiotics, like putting good fertilizer in your garden, right? I guess is a good way to say it.
So to speak, but
digestive enzymes are for?
Well, it breaks. There's different ones that break down specific things in your diet. You know, like pepsin, for example, breaks down proteins such as meat and eggs. Pancreatin also breaks down meat and eggs. But then you got protease, which is, you know, that breaks down proteins too. But amylase breaks down the starches. Or carbohydrates, which in America, we eat way too many carbs, but that would be like potatoes, rice, bread. Lipase digests fat. So that there's a lot of different things that have to unlock to break these down into things that are small enough so that it doesn't, you don't have an allergic reaction or a sensitivity reaction and create leaky gut. So
when people get their gallbladder removed because they have a problem assimilating fats many times, then digestive enzymes are something that could help with that?
Yeah, no, that's a good thing. And, you know, Janet and I, sometimes we just do this off the cuff and sometimes we have different notes. But, well, Janet and I always have different notes and we hope we put this together real well for you. But I promised somebody I would talk about the liver. And the liver dumps out through this bile duct into the gallbladder, and the bile is actually recirculated. But let me tell you about why the liver is so important. I've always said the liver and thyroid are like a woman. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, you've got two different phases of detoxification in the liver. Phase one is the fat soluble toxins, and it goes through the cytochrome P450 enzyme. And, you know, we've talked about that and the development of cancer and all kinds of other booger bears. We just use cancers because that's the word we seem to be most afraid of, but there's a lot of others that are equally horrible. And that phase, oxidation, reduction, hydrolysis, hydration, and dehalogenation, halogens are the ones I talked about, the bromide, fluoride, and chlorine or chloride. And they're the ones that take the place of iodine. And that's why we have maybe 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 people have a suboptimal thyroid. And then phase one, once it gets through there, let me back up. The nutrients needed for that are B2, B3, B6, B12, folic acid, glutathione, and the flavonoids or bioflavonoids. And there's so many of us, maybe 50% have a folic acid problem. That's 5-MTHF-R. That's for Jonathan out in New Mexico. He says, I need to slow down. Then once it goes through there, and you've got to have enough of these vitamins, and you cannot get enough out of your food. Now, yeah, organic's better, but that doesn't mean it's grown on minerally rich soil. Then it goes to intermediary metabolites, which goes to phase two, which is called the conjugation pathway, which is sulfation. You get most of your sulfur from onions, shallots, garlic, and eggs. Glucuronidation. Then you go into glutathione conjugation. I like NAC, N-acetylcysteine, just because the next step is glutathione. Amino acid conjugation. And that's why the minerals that we handle are chelated, Albion, Trax minerals, and they are chelated to an amino acid. And so when this goes through the amino acid conjugation, it picks it up and says, oh my God, this is free, pre-digested protein. And then the body says, oh, I've got this protein, which is usually lysinate, glycinate. And then it says, oh, you got zinc, magnesium, manganese, molybdenum, and boron, and all these things you don't hear a lot about. Then you got acetylation and methylation. And there are many studies that say in all cases of cancer or almost all cases of a cancer, you just have hypomethylation, which is lack of B vitamins. Remember I said in phase one, you need all these B vitamins like B2, 3, 6, and 12 plus the folic acid. It's got to be a specialized folic acid if you have that 5-MTHF-R genetic SNP. The nutrients needed for phase two, methionine, cysteine, remember I said N-acetylcysteine. You need magnesium, which our government says you cannot get more than 40% of your magnesium out of your diet just for general health. Glutathione, vitamins B5 and B12. Vitamin C, glycine, which is one of the amino acids these minerals are chelated to. Taurine, which thins the bile and is a major cleansing amino acid. Glutamine, folic acid, and choline. And that's why you need digestive enzymes, because it breaks these things down. So probiotics and digestive enzymes, there is some overlap in what it does, but they're not the same.
Interesting.
Did I dumb it down enough?
I was.
Jonathan, call me. Let me know.
I was wondering how the liver got involved here, but
it's gut. Isn't this a gut, you know, flatulence in this show about a good gut function?
Yeah, it is. How does this pertain to someone's gallbladder that if they get them out with fats?
Well, because when all these things happen with the bile going into the glycine, taurine conjugation thing, and the bile is supposed to be stored in the gallbladder, but it gets full of stones, which 99% of the time is a cholesterol stone. And then it gets to where it doesn't function correctly and it causes all kinds of horrific pain. You'll think you're having a heart attack. And then the surgeon will take it out, and I don't blame them at all. You know, it's a sick gallbladder. The main thing is cholesterol's not made from eating fat. I know that lie's been told so much people actually believe it. the cholesterol is made from too many carbs and too much sugar.
So you get your gallbladder out and your digestive issues are then fixed?
Well, the symptoms go away. And then we watch people in the restaurant clenching their butt cheeks in the middle of the meal, trying not to poop in their pants because their gallbladder can't hold the bile and the liver is kind of constantly leaking this bile. So you lose a lot of efficiency and you use a massive amount of energy for this to take place. You need that reservoir. So, you know, sometimes, you know, the cystic duct will swell up trying to be a reservoir to hold like the gallbladder. And I'm not faulting people for having it taken out, but it's better if you can stay on it.
And if you do have your gallbladder out, is there something that could slow the transit time down of them having to go to the bathroom in the meal?
These digestive essentials are, oh my God, wonderful. That is one of our most popular, I guess, top sellers, is a better way of putting it. And the digestive essentials is some of what I mentioned earlier about the pepsin, pancreatin, protease, amylase, lipase, papain, and bromelain courses out of pineapple and mango somewhere. And if you, it helps the gastric phase of digestion, which is the stomach, and it takes away the sense of fullness, belching, bloating, feel like you swallowed a football, that kind of deal. And if it's not correct, it can cause indigestion, diarrhea, constipation, food sensitivities or food allergies, and even nausea after taking supplements, especially if they're not good supplements. You need some of these, and that's just the gastric phase. Then they actually hang together to help with what's called the enteric phase of digestion, which is small intestine. Small intestine doesn't get much press. It's usually the stomach or the colon. But small intestine is incredibly, it uses the pancreatin, bromelain, papain, and the ox bile to support better digestion there. And that goes into people that have what's called gastroparesis or slow emptying of the stomach. It's very important that you have these things.
All I know is digestive essentials is really great when you've had a steak. It really helps. You know, for me, when I eat a steak, it's like it just sits there like a rock and the enzymes help break it down so I can assimilate it. And then I add in something called betaine and pepsin that I hope Dr. Lewis is going to talk about that helps. It's hydrochloric acid, I guess, right?
Yeah. And it's really called TMG, trimethylglycine, which is a methyl donor, which is, remember, methyl, methylation, B vitamins, and the betaine and pepsin. And although the digestive essentials has that in there, many people need to increase their betaine and pepsin also in addition to the digestive enzymes because their chloride may be low on their lab, their globulin may be low or high. And if their protein is under 7, it's like, well, you're not digesting your protein. And people say, well, I'll just eat more protein. No, the problem is not you don't get enough. The problem is you don't digest it. And guess what? Yeast, fungus, and virus are covered with protein. So if you're not digesting your food, you're not killing or sanitizing these gazillions of microorganisms that come in your stomach. And then you can get an overgrowth of these things. H. pylori gets all the press, and that is a real issue to deal with. But also, candida begins to grow like crazy and then puts out little feelers, or they call them roots, basically. We have a candida overgrowth, and that's a major contributor to ADD, ADHD, and they steal your enzyme. Well, through enzymes, they steal your thiamine and some of your B6 and B5 and those kind of things. So, yeah, if you get your GI tract happy, everything else can go much better. It's very important, and it's a never-ending journey because our food is just not what food should be. We have somewhere between 4 and 40 times more gluten than we used to. Well, not everybody's gluten sensitive, but I think the majority of us are, and most people don't know it. Well, if you're 10 pounds overweight, you've got liver problems and digestive issues. You've almost always got the beginning of fatty liver if you're 10 pounds overweight or more.
And he's looking at me, folks. So I, he she's
only because she has the most beautiful smile in the world. She's not 10 pounds overweight. Told somebody she weighed 132 one time. She says, Stephen Lewis, notice both names. I was in trouble. I do not weigh 132. I said, I'm so sorry, honey. How about 122? She said, now you got it. And she's really a little bitty girl with a great big smile.
But there is some symptoms of an imbalanced microbiome here, which you're going, what is that? What is the microbiome?
The bacteria and proper yeast in your GI tract.
It's amazing how many things are related to your gut health.
Everything.
Yeah.
Even your mood, your mental cognitive function. Go ahead. I got a list over there. You tell me.
Abdominal pain, aging too rapidly. Your gut has to do
She
with
looked at me on that one.
No, I'm just shocked that has something to do with it. Allergies. Which I knew that.
You know, there's a lot of people in the past, hundreds of years ago, that says all diseases begin in the gut. So that I think that's very true.
Anxiety, arthritis, bloating and gas, brain fog.
Okay. Oh, can I talk about that?
Yeah.
And I tell a lot of these people that I go over the labs with, I said, well, what happens is, you've got too much yeast, or because you have high eosinophils, you can assume there's the probability of too much yeast. Then the yeast puts out an enzyme called thiaminase and steals your thiamine, which is B1. So you cannot get enough of that, and you get brain fog, lethargy, anxiety, OCD. And, brain fog's the most common term. And about 3 weeks later, after they get on some good B vitamins, and of course, you got to give a whole lot to overrun what the candida is stealing, because it takes a while to get rid of that. People say, oh my God, my brain fog's gone. I said, well, tell your husband, bring me chocolates and Shinerbach beer. And no, I don't drink beer because of the gluten, but I used to a little bit.
People never think about that's where it's coming from. They get on some sort of medication from their doctor for it. And
yeah, that's another thing. If you're on a PPI or acid reducer, and I'm a chiropractor and I deal with people with musculoskeletal issues, but if you give them the proper supplements, then a lot of other things get well. And yeah, if you're on a PPI acid reducer, for goodness sake, you've got to take digestive essentials and probably the betaine and pepsin also.
Hair loss and dull, lifeless hair have got to do with your gut health.
You can't digest protein. You can't hang on to your hair. Now, this may take a few years to develop, but I've seen people grow their hair back and say, oh my God, look at how thick my hair is. It's like, yes, ma'am.
And memory problems.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I've had that. It does. The liver stuff does have to do with your memory. Like you can't remember things easily. Okay. Nauseousness.
Can be, usually liver, gallbladder.
Rashes and other skin reactions.
Yeah, I had this young man comes in. He had the most horrible rash I've seen in years. And I said, well, you need to go to a dermatologist. He said, I've been. They give me the cream that doesn't work. I said, well, you got to clean your yeast out of your system. And he's doing all kinds of liver stuff. And I said, you don't sleep between 1 and 3 a.m., do you? He said, how did you know? I said, well, we went to China, studied, and that's the liver meridian. So, and he works at another store selling all kinds of other vitamins that he wouldn't take. So his rash is about 90% better within 3, maybe 4 weeks.
Okay. And I also want you to talk to us about something called H. pylori. What does that have to do with the gut health? Because I know that's a pretty big thing.
If you don't have enough hydrochloric acid, and most people don't, they say, but I have acid reflux. Well, really, that's a reflux of alkali because your pyloric sphincter in the bottom of your stomach doesn't close properly. That's why you need to see a chiropractor to get adjusted properly and stimulate the vagus nerve, because the vagus nerve has so much to do with everything in your body. So what does H. pylori have to do with it? Well, they've said over the years that's the cause of ulcers, peptic ulcers, which I don't know if that's really true. But intestinal bacteria like H. pylori, and it can be others, can trigger food allergies through leakiness that they cause. And you know how I like research. That's from Scandinavian Journal of Gastroenterology. The new genetically modified foods have been shown to cause food allergies. You almost cannot get a non-GMO food anymore. I hope to goodness that changes. Isn't it funny that Putin, the bad guy out there, won't let them grow GMO wheat in Russia. Anyway, GMO food is not a good thing. That's from Environmental Health News.
So this causes H. pylori?
Well, H. pylori is one of the bugs, but if you don't have the higher amount of digestive essentials and hydrochloric acid, it doesn't digest. It actually, good digestive enzymes will sanitize what you put in your stomach, which means kill the major amount of bad pathogenic bacteria. And they said, well, won't it kill the probiotics? No, because one of the major probiotics is lactobacillus, and it likes acid. It's lactobacillus acidophilus, acid. It likes acid. So they get down and go to the proper places from the stomach down to the small intestine and then end up in the GI tract where, you know, you got E. coli in the GI, in the colon, but it shouldn't be too large a percentage.
Okay. And if you guys are all lost on what he's talking about and you want to read some of the things that he's written, he has a book now on the website that you can look at for free. It's the Gut Health Nutrition Plan.
Janet and our IP guy, Ernest. Oh, my God, we love Ernest. Even I'll hug him. Of course, it embarrasses him, but
he's made a banner on our homepage at greenwisdomhealth.com of Dr. Lewis's books. There's been a lot of people asking if they could read them. They are where you can read them on the screen of any laptop or phone. They're not able to be print off, but you have all the pages in. Tell us about what's in that book so people can have an idea about what they're getting or why.
Well, one of them is where do you get the most nutrients from what food? And again, I don't think food is complete, you know, a source of all these things, but the gut microbiome function helps immune health. It helps with your mood in a big way. I know, you know, if you're husband or wife's in a bad mood, just tell them, well, you can't tell them their head's up their rear, but there's books about the GI tract being the second brain. Another thing, and I'll get back to that, H. pylori has been associated with wheat intolerance. And, you know, what did I say about gluten? Gluten now is 4 to 40 times higher than it used to be, and it's a problem, but this leads to celiac disease and leakiness of the gut. And that's not my opinion. That's American Journal of Gastroenterology. And okay, back to the, you know, what's in the book, metabolism health. Well, there's books written and it's in some of my books about if you get the right amount of bacteriocytes, bacteroids versus Firmicutes, you want higher B's and less F. F is the fat. F causes fat. So it, as you get a higher level of the bacteroids, it can increase metabolism and help you lose weight. It has a lot to do with heart and blood sugar health. Okay. I confessed that one about 2 or 3 podcasts back. Hormone health. Yes. Hormone health. If you knew how much of your hormone health has to do with your gut and especially the liver and that conjugation I talked about earlier, you would be taking really good care of your liver and not just with probiotics, but with these digestive essentials and betaine, pepsin. I take them all personally. And joint and muscle health, because if you get all of that out of balance and you get these inflammatory cytokines, that's going to cause all kinds of joint and muscle health. And that's where I started as a chiropractor. It's like, well, I still deal with just musculoskeletal health, but sometimes you have to say liver or whatever. One of the things that I love is something we call GastroSoothe, and what that is zinc carnosine. Now, why zinc carnosine? It's actually a polymer, and it goes down and it helps the bacteria, like H. pylori, does not like it. And I've had people that started this and said, golly, that's the only time I've been having bowel movements appropriately in 50 years. Well, your train's backed up, I'll tell you that. But
and that's also for H. pylori as well, too, right, if you've had been diagnosed with that?
Yeah, and the bad bacteria do not like zinc carnosine, and that's in a lot of different formulas. I like it personally, just you know, by itself.
Doesn't your book also have the foods that are good for people to eat to clean up their gut with recipes?
Yeah, you know, it's got all that if you want to do it. And it says, eat this, not that kind of stuff, and you know, there's 4 depending, you know, I've seen as much as 5 steps to restoring gut health. Number one is remove the bacterial, viral, fungal, and parasitic pathogens. And yes, that's got a lot to do with musculoskeletal health. And there are some specific nutrients found in the foods and supplements that provide antimicrobial, antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, and antiparasitic roles. Step number two is replace with digestive enzymes. You got to do it. I don't think I see hardly anybody that looks like they have good digestion. And then that's step two. Step three is replenish the good bacteria in the gut. And that's a never-ending thing, even though my brother, who's seriously brilliant, horrifically intelligent, probably maybe a little bit more than me, I don't know. But you've got to keep doing it. They don't. Yes, the ones we carry are known to colonize. They're researched out, and they're crazy research, and they will stick around and colonize better. But because we challenge these bacteria every day, you need to replenish every day anyway, just to be safe. Because literally, there's 10 times more microorganisms in our body than we have cells in our body. So more is better. You know, and that's a man thing. More is better, except oil in your truck. It's not true there.
And if you don't know you have a digestive problem or not, you can also see that on a lab panel too, correct?
Yeah, you can make a good assessment by looking at the globulin, albumin. You can look at the protein. You can look at the chloride. It's pretty obvious because I've looked at people and said, well, you have this and this. And I've had a lot of people with a tear rolling down their eyes. I said, did I offend you? They said, no, it's your first man to ever listen to me. It's like, huh? I tease. But step four is after you do all this, you repair and revitalize the gut. And that, you know, there's supplements that will help, you know, the immunoglobulins and the glutamine.
Probiotics, right?
Yeah, you know. That was back in step three, but the probiotics do a lot of the work for you. So why not get them to help you?
Well, a lot of people don't even know they have digestive problems. Here's one way to know. You figure out how many meals a day you eat. You should be having a bowel movement that many times a day. If you do not or never have, because we have that too, is like, I've never done that, so I'm okay. No, that doesn't mean you're okay. It means you've always had a digestive problem. You should be eliminating those. And where are they if they're not coming through as with as many meals as you eat? And then you're getting these other problems. But Dr. Lewis wants you to be able to have the book so that you can go in and educate yourself. There's also in the back of the books, there are some different products that he recommends, the ones he's talking about in there.
And I'm not saying you should get them all.
But they're ideas if you want to be a do-it-yourself type person.
Yeah, you should get, you know, a fair amount of them because just in the repair, the leakiness can be reduced by quercetin, which that's fine. We do a lot of quercetin, bromelain, curcumin or turmeric, and that's a Journal of Cell Biochemistry. Licorice, silymarin, which of course is really good for the liver. Ginger, chlorella, glutamine, which I mentioned already. And it just goes on and on, but you have to get a good plan. You have to find somebody you trust. And don't wait until your engine's on fire to try to change the oil, because I've seen so many people do this. Though there's, you know, they taught us that when we were kids, a stitch in time saves 9. Ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So, you know, let's practice what we were taught in grade school.
Well, the most accurate way is to do the very low-cost lab work so that none of us are guessing at what's wrong, because there's many things that could be contributing to digestive problems. So go to our website, greenwisdomhealth.com, fill out the health survey, and it will make a recommendation of the panels. And we now have very easy packs that are mailed to you in the AM and PM that Dr. Lewis can put the right amount of products that he wants in it for you. That makes them easy. You don't have a whole bunch of bottles.
It's incredibly popular.
Yeah. So, Dr. Lewis, would you like to leave us with some closing words?
Yeah, because in the middle of my notes, I get Papa spelled out in highlight. I'm assuming it's my granddaughter. I think granddaughters are angels sent from above to fill our hearts with unending love. But if you don't take time for your wellness, you're going to be forced to take time for your illness. And I guarantee your illness is going to cost more emotionally, and financially. So people don't decide their futures, they decide their habits. And the habits decide their futures. So what's your habit?
And we appreciate you listening to this week's episode. Please share it with your friends if you think it would help them. And we'll be here next time on the Green Wisdom Health Show.